because that's S-H-I-T. That spells shit, we're aware, and I know that's fucking weird, but listen to this shit.
Guys, girls and guys, folks, listeners, people of Earth, animals, all living creatures, by the time you listen to this, we will have a different president of the United States. I'm gonna speak to you as if you are a progressive listening to this, and if you're not, well, this might not be for you. It's a combination of feelings that I have right now that I'm sure a lot of you can relate to, which is, oh my God, it's ending. It's ending. I hate saying his name. I try not to ever really say his name out loud. So I'm gonna stick to it. But this era, this 4-year period with Fuckface McGee in the White House is ending. Now, that being said, there are a lot of things that are, you know, needing fucking tended to. There's a lot of things, and the virus is only the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion. There's so much shit that needs to be addressed and really, like, given some thought and love to, and decisions, you know, all of the stuff that's basically gone by the wayside for the last 4 years. And it's, look, there's still a lot to be done. We know this, and there will probably always be a lot to get done, but can we just acknowledge the fact that, that this disgrace of a being is no longer going to have the kind of control that he has had. Obviously the guy, you know, he's a cult leader, and there are a lot of people that have come out of the woodwork, you know, and we're talking about people who aren't just racist and you know, and are bigots, but who the fuck really knows? At the end of the day, if you're racist, you know, that's all you need to say. Like, that's all there's, that's enough to be disqualified from, well, I think every thought and opinion. I mean, I do believe that people can change, but, you know, again, this is a different breed. This is a different breed here. The total fuckwad who's been the commander in chief, and we are about to have, I mean, political views aside, and it is Trump, sorry, but it's political views aside. We are about to have a human once again in the White House who actually cares about people. You know, look, at the absolute minimum, Joe Biden cares about people. I would bet my life on it. The job of a president is something that's completely unfathomable to me. But Joe Biden cares about people. At least some people. I can't think of any other word. I keep wanting to refer to fuckface as something more unique. And it would have also made this this little monologue, if you will, a little bit more humorous if I had, you know, well, the he who shall not be named. But look, it's just, I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled. And of course, you know, I'm feeling cautious and, you know, we're all on fucking edge because we're like, well, we don't know. Okay, great. You know, he's Joe Biden's about to be president. What else is, what's going to happen, right? What, all of the security measures that are being taken and whatnot. And look, at the end of the day, no matter if the whole world is on fire, I don't know. And maybe it would be different, literally, if the world was on fire. Although, I mean, you know, global warming, I feel like I will always have hope in my heart for what is happening. I always will, I think, believe that the good, the positive, the abundant, you know, the love, compassion, all that shit, I do believe that will prevail ultimately. And so obviously, you know, most of the shit is out of our control, is it not? So what I am really trying to do with just putting out positivity into the world, you know, I like to make jokes, I like to be snarky, but sometimes I'm like, there's so much cynicism, there's so much, you know, and cynicism, you know, you can be a good person and still be cynical, you know. Of course, what does a good person even mean? We're getting into a lot of layers here, but the point is, I'm fucking thrilled that shithead McGee, that was not creative at all, is going to be out of here. So, I hope that you are also feeling hopeful about life. Because look, at the end of the day, feeling hopeful about life really does create more positive energy. It creates good shit to come in. So, you know, even if we're watching a complete dumpster fire of things happening, we can't just look. We might just be looking at the dumpster fire, but we have to know that there's more than just the dumpster fire. Does this make sense? Okay. If I had a nickel for the amount of times people have said to me in my life, oh, you're overthinking it, you're thinking too much, I would have probably several hundred dollars. I'm not going to exaggerate it, but several hundred dollars. That's a lot of times that people have said that. And so often my reaction was, I can just stop overthinking it. Oh, okay, great, great. Oh, it's that easy? Oh, wow, thanks. And it was always so frustrating because I thought, no, that I can't just stop doing that. That's who I am. Isn't it funny when we take certain aspects of our habits and claim that to be part of who we are? That's not who we are. That's just some shit that we do. All right. Who we are is this like elusive kind of inner being that sometimes we tap into. God, I'm sorry for getting so aggressive about that. You know, I take this podcast, which I am so very well aware of, that I want to keep improving this and have more guests on my podcast. And I'm excited to tell you that I have some people lined up, some people who I think have some really important shit to say. And but my point is that the way that I have overthought this podcast, I mean, my overthinking is so it's so consistent it's just there all the time, which is probably why I sound like I have mini strokes when I am talking, and I'm like, pause and all that stuff, right? Sometimes I wish things would just flow, and sometimes I wish that I would just go with the flow. Now, just like anything, it's a practice. It's a practice, damn it. But it does start with one thing, and that is, you know, making a choice. We think that because certain things don't come very easy to us, that we're incapable of doing them, or that that's just who we are as a person, and other people need to accept that or whatnot. But what I'm realizing is the biggest thing here, and I've said this in previous episodes, I think, but and I feel like this has become a theme for me. And, you know, I do attend Zoom Al-Anon meetings, and I have a history of, you know, codependency, and it's so funny. I have that one daily reader that basically each day of the year shares some really great shit, and it's basically like a codependency meditation book. And I just feel like I keep getting the same reminder, which is I'm not a victim. And what that means to me is I am not helpless in my circumstances. And this can obviously go for any circumstance, but in this case, it goes with overthinking. I have been an overthinker my whole life. This is not unique. Many of us are. But have we not kind of become just like total slaves to our overthinking and just wishing we could just stop doing it? Why can't I just stop and this and that and this and that? And just like any habit that we want to break, you find that it feels damn near impossible to just stop, because there's a few things that I think have to be evident first. I think one of those main things is we do have a choice. We have a choice to, or rather we get a choice, but we get to choose to decide that we don't want to continue living a specific way that we've been living. And that's why not being a victim to me is such a great, that just that phrase, just that notion is so powerful to me, because I have allowed my overthinking and my feelings to dominate my existence. And, you know, I've spent years wondering why I feel like I can't get things done. This also fits in with the fact that I have ADHD and I'm not medicated, and I was diagnosed literally only a couple of years ago, and it's just one of those things where it's like, I can't just use this as an, just because this isn't, just because some of this, you know, mindfulness or going with the flow, just because this does not, come very naturally to me, doesn't mean that I'm incapable of doing it. But it, where it does start is that it starts with a choice. It starts with the decision to want to change, want to make a change, and well, and obviously believe that it's possible as well. Great example. This is such a simple thing, and I've been in therapy, you know, over half my life. But last week during my therapy session, I was telling my therapist, and this has been one of the reasons why, or one of the reasons why I've been so emotional in my therapy sessions recently, was because, you know, I was feeling a lot of fear and anxiety for the first few weeks of this month in January. And one of these go-to fears that I just constantly ruminate on, of course, was, you know, worrying about my mother's health and fearing her mortality. And, you know, and again, and this is happening all while, you know, for all intents and purposes, she's healthy, like she's healthy enough, like nothing's actually happening, you know, that's negative for her health wise. And so I would have these, you know, ruminating thoughts like, you know, my mom, you know, she's going to pass away and da da da, and I can't control it and I'm going to be all alone and it's going to be really sad. And it's like, first of all, everybody has those thoughts with regard to their loved ones and especially their parents. But my therapist told me last week, you know, she said, and it's funny because she sent me a little, not a meme. Well, it actually is, it is kind of a meme, but it's just like a little illustration of a person that it shows one bubble. They're having a thought and it says the thought and then the person looks really sad. And then in the other illustration, the person, it shows them having the same thought, but then there are a couple of outside bubbles with another outside bubble, and those outside bubbles are saying, I notice that I am having the thought, you know, and then it shows the bubble of what that thought is. And it's such a simple thing, and I know this is not the first time I heard it, but this was really, really huge for me last week, because what she was saying was, when you get those feelings that come up, the ruminating, you know, fear and anxiety, but it's just like those thoughts that come in, those invasive thoughts, instead of identifying with the thought, you know, she said, say to yourself, oh, I notice that I'm having that thought about X, Y, and Z right now, and just labeling it. It's funny, because I've learned a little, I've done this a little bit too with like guided meditations for anxiety, when they say, you know, just if you have a thought, just note it, but don't just let it be what it is, right? Because it's just a thought and thoughts don't mean anything. And it's funny because thoughts don't mean anything, but thoughts kind of mean everything, right? Because as long as we're thinking negative things, we're just inviting more negativity into our lives. And whatever we are thinking about, you know, that controls how we feel, which controls our actions. It controls how our day goes and all of that stuff. So just like anything, it is a practice. But just with my therapist saying, when you have those invasive thoughts that come up, just say, oh, I notice I'm having that thought again. It separates you from it. It allows you to not identify with the thought and get caught up in the thought and the worry. Instead of arguing with the thought, you're like, oh, I'm having that thought. It's like you're putting it, you're completely compartmentalizing it. And it just kind of reminds you like, oh yeah, those are really just thoughts. And I was doing that all this past week and I really recognized what a fucking difference it made. And again, it's so simple. And it's not a new concept, but I think sometimes when certain fears and worries come in, you know, depending on what they are, we tend to over-identify with them because we think, well, why is this coming in though? What does it really mean? What does it really mean? And we go down a rabbit hole of trying to figure out what certain things mean. And oftentimes, we're not really going to discover what it means, and we're wasting our time by trying to figure out things that you know, in this whole process of like trying to figure shit out and ruminating and overthinking is just, it's not serving us. It's just not. Now this is important to know if you want to feel good, you know, because if you don't really want to feel good and you want to stay a victim, then what I'm saying won't really resonate with you. But this was such a big deal to me, because I'm realizing, look, we're never going to cut out We're never going to cut out, oftentimes, our first thoughts. You know, we're always going to have invasive thoughts. Things are going to come into our brains. We're not immune to that. But we get the decision to do what we do with them next. To do what we do with them. We get the decision to figure out what the hell to do with those thoughts. And, you know, shaming ourselves, it's not helpful. It's really not helpful. We're creating even more pain for ourselves. Because not only are we having, you know, that specific thought, now we're beating ourselves up for it. We don't have to identify with the thought, but it's important with that technique to label it and say, I notice that I'm having it. So it's kind of like you're marking it. You're accepting it. You're allowing it. You're saying, hey, I see you. And that's that. You know, it's not like you're completely ignoring it. Because there's this weird thing that happens when we have really negative thoughts or we're overthinking things. And we try to say, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And it's like the more we're quote unquote not doing that, the more we're still like doing it. And it feels like it's chasing us, you know, like we're in a nightmare and we just can't get away from it. And it's, but we're like, nope, I see you. So yeah, it was just such a mind-blowing thing, and it just really changed the game for me this past week. And then I realized I can do that with everything else that I think of that doesn't feel good. Even if it feels like, well, it's the truth, well, it's reality. You know, even in my own career, and this is such a common thing, and, you know, social media, of course, perpetuates this, and I have been getting back into wanting to use social media as a tool, especially for my creative endeavors. But the comparing thing that we do, and, you know, where I want to be in my career, and how I recognize, of course, that, you know, tangibly, you know, it hasn't manifested yet. And those thoughts will come up, and then I start to feel a lot of shame. And I reminded myself this past week, like, wow, when that comes up, even though it feels truthful, like, sure, I'm not in a very highly rated film yet, or I'm not on a network TV show, or I haven't yet created and performed this comedy special I'm writing and all of this stuff. I can literally just take those thoughts and say, oh, I'm having that thought again where I feel shame about my career. Okay, that's fine. You acknowledge it, and then you just keep fucking moving. You just keep moving. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. But really, you do. You really do. I just can't believe how long I spent thinking, well, I can't move forward because I haven't figured this out. This thing keeps plaguing me. And it's like, and then we expect that all of that shit, all of that overthinking, whatever it is, whatever we're overthinking, we expect it to have to go away before we make decisions and act and all of that stuff. And it's just not the case. It can be right there. It can be right there. Just, you know, like I've said before, it can be there. It can be in the back seat, but it doesn't have to be driving the wheel. You feel me? To reiterate, we can have all of the thoughts and the feelings in the world, and they don't have to dictate our lives. And we get to reclaim our thoughts. We really do. That shit works. It doesn't work one time. It works with consistency and practice, which is why, for me, saying daily affirmations is so important. And they just, you're acting as if. That's what they say, acting as if. So even if you feel like you're lacking something, you know, saying specific affirmations allow you to act as if the thing that you think that you're lacking, act as if you have it already. You know, it's kind of like a fake it till you make it thing, but it really does, you really do start to believe it, and it really starts to open things up. There's always other elements involved, but it's a very helpful thing, and it's easy because you're just repeating stuff. So if you just commit to repeating affirmations daily, it's very helpful. And once again, look, just because things don't come easy to us, we still get to simplify our perspective. We take the thought, we put it over here, we say, hi, I see you. Hey, guess what? You're not really serving me. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. And no, I don't have time to overanalyze you right now because I'm living my life. Now, look, we're going to always have moments where we indulge in, you know, overanalyzations, or sometimes I call it emotional masturbation, if you will. These things are going to come up, but we can recognize them. And the more we recognize them and the more that we want to not identify with them, the less they will be there. That is what I have found for myself. Currently, I wanted just to mention this. This is a huge thing for me. And, you know, this, of course, this is overthinking. This is also obsessing. Currently, I am working on, and I've mentioned this, but I'm almost finished with the first draft of a, you know, I was calling it a stand-up special for a while, but to be honest with you, it's more of a one-person show, which kind of allows it to be a little bit more general, you know, and not have the pressure of, oh, this show is entirely hilarious. So I'm working on a one-person show. I am writing a series that is based on my life. I'm taking my time with that, but I'm doing that with a close friend. And I want to get the ball rolling again with auditioning. I mean, I realize, again, we are still in a pandemic, and things aren't necessarily booming, but I'm actively opening myself up and allowing myself to, you know, fulfill my creative desires and all that shit. But I tend to get obsessive, and I tend to try and put myself on a schedule. And you know, again, right, it's that whole come down to like not feeling worthy thing unless I'm contributing or creating or doing something. And one thing I know for sure, and I can catch it now, is that when I start to obsess about what I'm doing and where it's going, and I want to control things, and I have a hard time relaxing and just like doing the work and then letting it go, if I have a hard time doing that, I know that it's time for me to step back and chill out. And I did that last night. I was really feeling some kind of way about the fact that I didn't do a certain amount of writing yesterday. And I thought, you know what, give yourself a break. Let's watch The Office for an hour. And I did that. And I said, I am choosing to do this, damn it. And then I did not feel guilty about it. I just let it feel good. You know, and then I woke up this morning and I was really relaxed. So really, to relate that to the overthinking thing, if you're overthinking and it doesn't matter what it is, it could be work-related or you know, relationship-related, it just could be anything. If you're overthinking something, take that as a sign that you need to actually step back from the situation and not mess with it, because, you know, number one, you're not going to get any clarity from beating a dead horse and from just ruminating over those thoughts. Now, look, sometimes we get invasive thoughts that are ruminating that we feel like we can't control. And I know, you know, when I'm not on medication, aka my sweet love Zoloft, you know, I have so much anxiety, I almost can't function, and the ruminating thoughts are not controllable. So if this is something that, you know, you have severe anxiety and you really feel like you need extra help, please, you know, do that for yourself. But if you feel like you are overthinking anything, it's time to take a step back and do something else. Focus on something that actually feels good. Focus on something that you can control, but make sure it feels good. If you can, you know, if you're not spending your life putting out like 27 fires at one time, which, listen, I hope that you're not spending your life putting out 27 fires at one time, because that's no way to live. Remember, we deserve love and joy and happiness, damn it. I love all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay safe, stay healthy, and never lose faith and hope.
That's self-help ideas and thoughts with Bethany. Oh, that was a good ending, you dickhead.